Elizabeth Chapel, a lifelong entrepreneur who finally found my niche. After years of new ideas and jumping from business to business, I figured out how to turn a craft into a successful career. In 2016, I started a monthly subscription box for quilters. That little startup has grown into a thriving, multiple six-figure business that I am so proud of. As a published author, designer of fabrics and patterns being sold throughout the world, my favorite thing to do is to teach others how to grow a career of their dreams. Each week, you'll hear from me or from other guests who are creative entrepreneurs, so you can learn exactly what to do and what not to do to grow a career that's more rewarding and successful than you ever thought possible. If you're ready to turn your craft into a career that you love, I am so excited you're here. Welcome to the Craft to Career podcast. Welcome, friends. I'm excited to have you here. And this week, the episode, the podcast is just me. I'm going to be chatting with you on becoming a creative professional. And before I dive in, I want to share an email that I got. It's from Rebecca. She is an Irish quilter. Her Instagram is Spinning Wheel Quilts. And I love, she ends her email with Gaelic. I'm not going to begin to pronounce it, but its translation is good wishes and bye, be safe, my friend. And I love her message. She says, I'm writing to leave a review. I listen on Spotify, so I can only leave a rating, but I really wanted to tell you that you are my podcast friend. Okay. Friends are kind of reciprocal, I know, but a friend gives you solid advice, share stories with you, helps you when you get stuck, and most of all, encourages and empowers you. And that's what you do. I've listened to nearly all of the episodes, whether I'm sewing on my machine or I'm handpiecing EPP while waiting for my little girl's gymnastics. You are the friend that I listen to while I drink coffee. You are always encouraging me to follow my dreams. And so I just wanted to write a little note to say thanks. And if you're ever in Ireland, look me up. It's a small island. Some say it has 40 shades of green. Oh, Rebecca, I would love to come to Ireland and say hello. In fact, maybe I'll use that as an excuse. I have a friend who's just begging me to come over. I have to, if you pull my leg. So thank you so much, Rebecca, from Spinning Wheel Quilts for this review. If you've not left a review, take just a moment. It just takes a swipe of the thumb to leave a review either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you can't, especially on Apple Podcasts, as she mentioned here on Spotify, you're not able to write a review, but on Apple Podcasts, you can. It means the world to me. And even more importantly, it could help another entrepreneur to find the podcast and to get information that can help them grow their business. So now let me share what I want to talk about today with you. This came about because of a reel that I created on Instagram. And it was, you know, just me using my needle threader on my sewing machine. And I just wrote five agreements that I make to myself as a quilter from a professional creative. And I just shared five things that I keep in mind. But the reason that I'm sharing this on a podcast is because of a comment that someone left. And I wanted to share that with you. It was such a great question. She said, how did you become a professional? Like, are you making your living quilting? And my response, I was like, oof, it's a long answer for a short question. I might need to do a podcast on this. And I want to, because first of all, some of you might be wondering, how on earth does a person become a professional as a creative? What does that look like? And second of all, I want to share my journey, you know, pull back the curtain. That's the beauty of a podcast, is you get to have a backstage pass to the process that I'm going through, the ups and the downs. And so I responded to her a little bit about how I started and, you know, things that I've done. But I really want to like take a deep dive into this, because it's not as like natural or obvious for some people how to take your craft and turn it into a career, which also does remind me, I am going to be like starting now, the day that this podcast releases, I am going to open up a couple of one-on-one coaching, business coaching spots. And it's for podcast listeners only. And we can record it and have it be a future podcast episode, or it can be totally private. The reason I love doing this is, well, two things. One, I love to connect with my listeners, but two, it gives me such good insight into my listeners and the things that you're struggling with. And sometimes if I get too far removed from that, I want to be able to know exactly what you're going through so I can provide content that's helpful for you. So in order to qualify, just send an email letting me know that you've left a review for the podcast. It could either be like you left a 5-star review or whatever it might be, or if you wrote a review and it needs to be either through Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Once you have left a review, just send me an email and let me know that you've left a review and that you are entering yourself to be chosen for a one-on-one coaching call. And I am going to choose those by the end of February. So just be sure to do that, leave a review and send me an email. My email address is hello@quilterscandy.com. And just let me know that you've submitted a review and you would like to be entered for a one-on-one coaching call. So back to the topic on hand, how does one become a creative professional? The first thing that I recommend is that you find a market that has a niche audience. So for example, quilting is a perfect market. You want to find an area in the market where people are already gathering. They're already spending their money. So I knew this even before I started. Like, I was very wanting to start some kind of entrepreneurial journey. And if you know my origin story, I had a neighbor across the street, Tracy, who was such a good friend. And I roped her into my shenanigans and we talked about, we really actually almost started a tween makeup line. Like, she had a daughter that was, I don't know, 7th grade-ish. And she was like, man, she just needs like the very basics, you know, a little bit of mascara, a touch of blush, nothing more. Like, we don't need to go overboard, but also just kind of teach her how to use these things. And so we thought, man, what if we just made a little makeup palette for tweens that just had those basics in different colors? So we just had fun with that and went down that path. And I was doing research into how to start a business. And one of the top things that I learned was go where there's already people spending money and already congregating. Don't try and build a following. That's going to be an uphill battle. But if you can find a market where people are already spending money, they're already congregating, like yoga is an example of that. People spend a lot of money on their yoga stuff. They're dedicated. There's yogis, people who are vegan, people who are quilters, crocheters. I mean, there's so many different examples in the world, but you want to start off with a group of people who are already congregating and spending money. And then second of all, you want to try and find a void in the market. So if you're going to jump in and offer something that's being offered by so, so, so many other people, then you need to make it unique in some way. So for example, I teach a course on how to write and sell quilt patterns. There are many people who write and sell quilt patterns. And so one of the main modules and things that we talk about in that course is how to create a niche within that niche, how to find an area that's underserved, how to create your own brand and look. And so that's going to be pivotal for your success. And we go into that in the course, but a brand can be your personality. A brand can be the colors that you use. A niche can be, what is the difference between brand and niche? I mean, that's a whole topic right there, but finding a niche within the niche, finding a void in the market, an area that you can serve and create a product where you're just not seeing a lot of it. Now, when I started, what did this look like in my journey? Well, we found, you know, after the tween makeup thing and other ideas, we went to Quilt Market because Tracy's mom is a fabric designer, or she's retired now, but she was. And my mind was blown. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. First of all, this is really cool. I was seeing all the different fabrics and projects. I mean, it was like, I mean, I've actually never taken drugs, but if it were, I'd imagine it's how it would feel, where I felt like on this high, this energy of like, holy cow, there's this whole world out there of amazing stuff. Like, I just was on cloud nine and so excited. And not to mention, I saw there was a market. Like, there were all these people coming from around the world, different countries coming to share their goods and buy things. I was like, aha. So here, check, check, check. Like, we're finding all the things that we need. Now what's a void? And I talked to my little sister and I was like, man, we want to create a business in the quilting realm. I just don't know what. And this was in 2015 when we were talking about it. And my little sister said, you know what's really popular right now? These monthly subscription boxes. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. And there, I Googled it. There was like one other person who was starting a monthly subscription box for quilters at that same time. And then like, we were like, okay, we're going to do it. And we committed. And then Fat Quarter Shop came out with theirs and we were going to push our date back. I'm like, no, let's do it. We got to push it up. Like, other people are starting to see this void. We need to be one of the first who come out with it. So we opened up our box in June of 2015. And we were one of the very, very first quilting subscription boxes that I was aware of. There might have been others. Now that I have been in the industry a while, I do think there was another one that was around longer, but it was still a very underserved little niche within the quilting community. And so that's how we started. And then, so that's where we are now. Let's recap. You find a market where people are already coming and congregating and spending money. You find a niche in the market, a place that's underserved, that there's just not a lot. And people are, you know, that's, you can see that there would be a desire or a want for that thing, or people are asking for that thing and can't find it. Then once that happens, you want to create your product or your service. And this is where a lot of business strategy comes into place. So, and it's going to look different depending on what you're doing. So if you have a physical product, we had a monthly subscription box. So that was a physical product. You want to create that physical product. And there's so many details. So I won't go into like the nitty gritty of like, you need to get ready to pay taxes and get a tax ID and all of that, because there is all of that. But as far as like from a broader business perspective, you will want to, if it's a physical product, you will want to make that physical product or get that physical product and send it out to some people and get some feedback. So find out, do people really like this thing? Or even do a survey ahead of time and ask people, if you were to get a box of quilting goodies every month, what would you like in that box? Because a lot of times we think we know what people want because it's what we want, but there may not actually be that big of a demand for it. So just to do a little bit of research before you go and invest a lot of time and money and resources into something that may not actually do that well, it's good to do some research and some, I'm sure there's a technical term for it and I can't think of it right now, but a little bit of legwork. Just to make sure that people want that thing and that it's going to do well. And then once you get some feedback, like honest feedback, so there, it's different if you're asking your mom and she's like, oh yes, sweetie, I love it. You know, we need those friends or those people who are really going to tell us the honest truth. Like, that is hideous, or actually, no, this tasted disgusting, or whatever it might be. You need the honest truth. You need to know if what you're creating is actually desirable. And so, you know, get that feedback. And when you know that, okay, this is going to go well. And again, I'm talking about a physical product right now. Then what I did is my partner and I, Tracy, we sent that physical product out to influencers. And we said, hey, could we send you this box for free? If you like it, would you be willing to share about it with your audience? And it was crazy. I mean, this was 2016. And within a couple days of those influencers getting their boxes, our following had grown to over 1,000. And we went and got a milkshake to celebrate. We were so excited. Keep in mind, we were just sending DMs to people. I was just reaching out to people who had, I don't know, 5,000 to 50,000 followers, you know, and hey, we're starting this thing. I don't even remember my exact DM, but could we send this to you? I would say probably 3/4 of the people that we DM'd We could see that they saw our message and they did not respond. Now, that could have, we could have easily been like, oh, forget about it. This is so deflating. Nobody wants this. But we didn't. The handful of people that did accept the box, we were thrilled about it and we sent them the box, and it was hugely beneficial and successful. And we built connections and relationships with those people. So don't get discouraged if at first you don't succeed, you know, if you're trying to reach out and send stuff to people. And it was really cool to see over time how some of those people that we reached out to in the end reached out to us and were like, oh, hey, I would love to share my pattern to be in your box, you know, to get to a point where you've grown big enough that you're like, oh, this feels so cool. Like they're actually reaching out to me now. So just stick with that and keep trying. So sending out free samples, this is marketing. You know, you want to get some marketing and word of mouth. And then collaboration as you grow. Like it's just so important to share your product for free in exchange for people sharing about it. And I always would say, if you like it, would you share about it? So obviously if they don't like it, well, I would want to hear about it, but I wouldn't want them publicizing to the world like this sucked, you know, like I would really want them to talk to me about it privately so that we could improve the product. But thankfully, everyone loved the product. And then what got even cooler, and this was such a fun part of the business for me, was curating. So we would every month send out a brand new pattern and fabric and a little, notion, but something that was kind of boutique-ish, not something you would find at a local quilt shop, but like something that was made on Etsy only that was very custom. And it was really fun to look for those things, to find different patterns, different fabrics. And we would send whoever's fabrics or patterns we bought, we would send them a box for free. We would buy their patterns and they would share about the box with their followers. And that just was so powerful in the form of growth, where we had other people, different people every month sharing about our box with their audience saying, hey, my brand new pattern is going to be featured in here. Go check it out. And that was just such a great way to grow, was to collaborate with other people. So I am just such a believer that a rising tide lifts all boats. And even now as a fabric designer and a quilt pattern designer, I subscribe to the fact that we lift each other up. Like if you really are creating something that's uniquely you, there doesn't need to be this competition or this scarcity or like, well, but if you have success, then there's less success for me. That we're all just unique and we're going to create something. And if people find a good pattern they love, they're going to buy it. It's like finding a good book or a good restaurant. You're not going to be like, ugh, another one? Jeez, not another good book. Mm-mm. People want more, you know? I don't know a single quilter. Well, okay, there are some, but who are like, I'm not buying another single pattern. I'm never going to buy fabric again. No, we love a new thing. Like it's very exciting. So it comes down to being unique and having quality. But now let's talk about a good or a service. So let's say, for example, you have like a course where you're teaching how to sew. Now that it's actually this, I like the idea of, you know how I said with the box, like do some research and see if people are interested in it. Same with your course. Heaven forbid you go and spend all this time recording a course and nobody is interested in what you're teaching. So do some research first. Do a little bit of like, hey, would you be interested if I were to offer a course on XYZ? And get a little bit of feedback and find out, you know. In fact, what you can do is even say, hey, I'm going to create a course on, for example, sewing, and I'll be teaching XYZ. I will normally be charging more, but because this is like my testing launch, I will be charging less. You will get the founding price and it's going to be cheaper, and do like charge a lot less than you normally would, because these are the people who are taking a gamble on you. They're going to give it a try. And I've actually purchased courses like this. I purchased a course on running Facebook ads like this. I got in at the founder's price and he created the course as we went along, and he would do weekly calls with us. and ask us questions, and he'd go back and tailor the course based on the feedback that he got. It was a win-win. We got in at a great price. He got feedback from us. We have lifetime access to any updates that he makes to that course. So I feel like I got a steal of a deal, and he greatly needed our feedback to make it the best course possible. And so that's another idea, is just offering, you know, at a lower price and letting them know, because you're in at the very first, you will get all of my updates for free, or, you know, give that kind of special offer to them. But you definitely want to have feedback on your course. And, you know, I hired Shannon Boyer to help with my quilt pattern writing course. But first, I created the best course that I knew how to create, and I put it out into the world. And it was a pretty darn good course. And a lot of the students from that very first course have gone on to do amazing things. But I started to realize, I know that this can be better, but I can't, like, I've gone to the fullest extent that I have. Like, I've used my resources, and I know that there's more out there, but I don't know how to tap into that. So those are two different things, you know, that I've covered here. So we have the physical product, if you want to sell something as a physical, tangible product, and then a course or coaching or a membership. So putting out that beta group where you can offer it a little bit lower, or sending a free product to people. And then comes the long haul. So you've got your product out there. My biggest advice, and this comes from personal experience, hearing other people, and if you're like me, you're gonna not do this until you realize you have to do this. Don't add more to your plate. You're going to want to, because you're an entrepreneur, and we want to add, oh, but I could do this. Oh, people are asking for this. I should offer this. Narrow it back. Try to really only offer the one core thing. You will become really, really good, and you can put all of your energy into making that one product the best, most amazing product that's out there. The more that you offer, the more you dilute. First of all, you either need to hire more people, which is a whole nother thing to talk about, and a whole nother skill set, which most entrepreneurs are really good at coming up with the ideas and not great business owners. Hiring and training people, that's a business skill. So if you are really good at coming up with the ideas and creating the content, stick with that. Do that thing and really make, you know, get feedback from your customers. Ask them, how was it? What would you like to see different? And make your product better, better, better. You want to be the best out there. You want your product to be so good that people are like, hey, you've got to see this thing. Go check it out. It's so good. And word of mouth, testimonials, it will speak volumes. Like, that will bring you success just right there. And then becoming hyper focused and obsessed with your skills. So whether that's, like, if you're teaching a quilting course, really focus on how to become a better quilter. Keep learning, keep studying, keep taking lessons from different people. You will never run out of things that you could improve on and learn about. And then in turn, you will become a better teacher. You'll have more skills that you can share with your students. If you have a physical product, be hyper-focused and obsessed with how to make it the best. How to cut costs. Can you find boxes that are cheaper? Can you find, you know, instead of a 50% margin, could you find something at a 20% margin that's still just as good of a product? How are your customers doing? How could you get them to share their box? Could you have prizes, promotions? Do you want to have affiliates? There's enough to focus on in just one product that by adding more products, you are just going to make it a little less great. You're going to focus on, oh, but I could earn money in this thing. Really, all you need is one product done really well, and it will bring you all the revenue that you need. It's really just a matter of discipline and, like, not just trying to chase the next shiny object because you're bored. And so just allowing a little bit of boredom, you know, like being okay with that, sitting with that, and just making sure that what you do and provide is the absolute best possible. And now some people will say, well, how do you get an audience? How are you marketing? Well, I shared a little bit about the collaboration, sharing for free. And I'm thinking as I'm saying, reach out and ask people, are they interested in this course? Are they interested in this box? You might not have an audience, you know, you might have an audience of zero. So who are you going to reach out to? Then I would reach out to influencers and ask, hey, and let's first talk about a physical product. That's a much easier topic to broach, I feel like, because it's so much easier to say, hey, here's this cool notion or a cool product. I'd love to gift it to you. That's a lot easier than asking, hey, what do you think about this course idea or a membership idea? So if you want to offer like a membership or a course, you will need to grow an audience of some type first. And so that I honestly think social media, while some people hate on it, it's a free tool to grow your audience. And that's, I'll have to, in fact, next week I plan to do my podcast on how I've grown my Instagram audience. It's grown by over 50,000 in a month, which side note, it took me about 7 or 8 years to get to about 45,000 followers. And then in a month, I gained over 50,000 followers. That's bananas. Like in a month, I did over what it took me 7 or 8 years to do. So I've learned a few things and I'm excited to share those with you. But use those free resources. Yes, you can pay for ads, but the ads are going to cost you a lot more and be a lot less effective if you don't have an audience to start off with. So first of all, use the free platforms, whether it's YouTube. If you love to do video tutorials, go with YouTube. If you love to talk, do a podcast. If you like to do short form video, Instagram Reels or TikTok. You could do Facebook. So just find what you are most excited about doing, which kind of content. And it might not be any, but I hate to break it to you, you do have to do some marketing. And so if you absolutely are opposed to doing any kind of social media, it's going to be a lot harder. I mean, that marketing is involved. So unless you can hire a marketing agency to do it for you, then I really don't recommend going into business, or if you're not willing to do it yourself, you know, and to just figure out how to make good quality content and grow an audience, because it just has to be done. You know, there are different things, like if you want to be a virtual assistant, or if you want to be like in the quilting world, you can be a ghostwriter, you could be a tech editor, a photographer, you could offer a service. In that case, if you want to run that as a business, you can just reach out to people like, I don't know, myself or people who are writing quilts and say, hey, just so you know, I'm a tech editor. And at first, if that's what you're doing, I would offer it for free. And I know that sounds terrible. Like, no, you always got to charge. If you have no audience, you have no testimonials, you have nothing to show for what you've done, and you're new at something, you need to build credibility. And so to offer your work for free or almost virtually nothing, it really will help you in the long run. And so that's your marketing. Like that is your free marketing, is like, hey, I can do this at a huge discount, like pennies on the dollar. All I ask in return is that you share a testimonial and tell your friends about it. And so you just, it starts with that unattractive, slow grunt work, if you will. And you don't earn a lot of money at first and you put in a lot of time, but sticking with it, being so consistent, you don't give up, you know? And if someone says no, that's all right. You just go to the next person and go to the next person and offer what you do, offer your product or service for free. It just is a lot of that, you know, you just keep sharing and sharing and sharing and your audience will grow and word of mouth will go. If you do a good job, if you have a good product, people will tell others about it. And so those are my tips to answer that question that I got. How did you become a professional? And do I make my living quilting? And so to be totally transparent, my husband has a career that he earns money as well. So our family does not live off of what I earn alone. We absolutely could live off of what I earn alone. But we do have two people in our household who are earning an income. So when she asks, like, are you making your living off of quilting? I mean, I make a living, but my family we do have two incomes. So just to be transparent about that. So thank you so much for being here. I hope that this episode was helpful and shed some light. And hopefully, my hope is that it sparked some kind of idea for you to like, I could try that. I should do that. Because that's what I want to be here for. I want to help give you ideas for how to take this craft and turn it into a career. And reminder, I would love to invite you to apply to have a one-on-one coaching session with me. And so if you're like, what does this coaching session look like? Honestly, it's however you want it to look like. So I will just be watching my inbox for anyone who says, hey, I sent in a review of your podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and I would love to throw my name in the hat for a coaching call. So I'm just going to choose a couple of people. It'll be a 45-minute call. And when I select the people who I'll be coaching, I'll send you an email ahead of time and just ask, what do you want to discuss? What questions do you have about your business? And it can be anything. It can be like, I'm just thinking of doing this thing. Is this even a good idea? To like, man, I've been doing this for years and I just don't know how to grow. Do you have any insight and ideas for me? Anything. Anything you have business-wise, I would love to have a coaching call. And my guess is, I don't know, I'll see who applies. I would love to have a couple of people who are more at the beginning phase. I want a few sprinkled throughout different phases, you know, beginning, middle, and more advanced business, so that I can stay attuned to what's going on. What questions do you have? And again, it's up to you if you want to have that recorded and shared as a future podcast episode, or if you want to keep that totally private and it can just be between you and me and you can do with that information what you will. So again, just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Send me an email at hello@quilterscandy.com. And just let me know that you've left a review and you'd love to apply for a coaching call. And those, I will be done with entries the end of February 2024. And I'll announce those the beginning of March on the podcast. So thank you so much for being here as a listener. I absolutely love creative business. I love entrepreneurship and marketing and sales. And I'm just glad that you're here along for the ride. So be sure to join next Friday. Like I mentioned, I'll have that podcast episode on how I've grown my Instagram account by 50,000, over 50,000 in a month. So you don't want to miss that. And until then, have a wonderful week and we'll talk to you next week.